Little Eminence front for you, from representing the front end of the cow that we're cooking today. So, liking
brisket
that
in the front. Brisket in the front.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at. But hey, we've covered it with a chef and a butcher now, and now it's Barbecue Bob and I are going to give you our rundown on what we think about brisket. You listen to the experts. Now you can get 10 minutes of the BS. But so here we go.
All right, so I'll let you go first.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, here we go. We're going to talk a little bit about seasoning. Lots of schools of thought on this. You heard Bob Schultz, Chef Schultz from the Culinary Institute, talk about a salt-sugar mixture. Then he does a little garlic, paprika, and onion powder. And then he left it open on the back end for 30% more of his seasoning
right.
to be some sort of an aromatic, which is a basil, a thyme.
An herb from your garden, basically.
Right, any kind of herb. Now, I'm saying that pendulum is swung all the way to one side when it comes to brisket. And the other way, if it swings back clear to the other side, is our friends in Texas that are salt and pepper.
That's it.
Right? And then there's a whole bunch of stuff in between that goes on. Now, this is a giant chunk of meat. On the point end, you're 4 inches thick. On the flat end, maybe 2 inches thick. It might even be 6 inches thick if it's a big one on that point end. So, to me, you've got to season the heck out of this thing to get the seasoning down into the meat. What are your thoughts, Bob?
Correct, but you got to be careful. You got to be careful because, and just like Chef Schultz was talking about when he said 30% for what I call the aromatics, and that's pretty much what he was leading into, you got to be really careful when you start blending those different aromatics because he mentioned sage, for example. And my rule is if we grow it on our property, we use it. We grow sage
at times we grow it.
Yeah. We grow a lot of bugs in our garden. We don't use those. But
dandelions?
You know, you probably could, to be honest
right.
with you.
A little bitter.
But some of them, now I'm a huge thyme fan. I love the flavor it puts into pork, beef, lamb. I don't know. It's just something I became fond of when I was training under a Belgian chef when I was in the military. He was very fond of thyme, and I got hooked on it. And that's how your taste buds kind of develop,
well, sure.
right?
Yep.
And it's the same thing with those other aromatics. Garlic, you can go about as heavy as you want on with a brisket because it's such a dense piece. It doesn't seem to have so much effect, but something like sage, he threw sage in there. Now, that's one that's very, very specific, and that might be a flavor a lot of people aren't going to really care too much for.
I think poultry, when I hear sage predominantly, not a big piece of beef.
Yeah, but I think people with small hands that smell like cabbage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a sage fan, but I think the aromatics, it's an Austin Powers reference,
right,
sorry.
Yeah, right, okay.
So anyway, careful with the aromatics. The other thing is smoking and timing.
Right.
And here's where it gets people cross-eyed, but it doesn't have to. It's just this simple. Your temperature has everything to do with the time. The lower the temperature, the longer the time. And I would never recommend going below like 210 degrees for a temperature, especially when you're talking about pork. Now I'm going to bump it up to 225, 230 for a low temperature because you can actually get a big enough, dense enough piece of meat in there that'll hover in the danger zone for temperature on the meat. And you don't want it to do that.
Right. So for the brisket, everything I've read and the things that I've tried, it's performed the best at around that 225 to 230. And I'm depending on the size, right? Because doneness is determined with my thermopen. Okay. I can look at it and I think it's done, but when I know it's done is when my thermopen is in there.
And if you don't have one of those, go to thegrillingguys.com, look on the right side for thermopen, click on the link, you'll get the latest deal they have. They always have specials. Tie it to their specials.
It's a digital thermometer, is what
it's
it is.
It's the fastest read in right. the world. reads your temp in 3 seconds. With a smoker, it's a big deal because you don't want to leave it open.
Right. You don't want to lose all that heat that's in there. But I've brought these things to like 203, 204 degrees is when I'm pulling those off on that internal temperature. You go about halfway in to the point, right? And you maybe have already taken the flat off. We talked earlier about cutting them in two because one is such more dense. Did I say that right? Is so much more dense than the flat.
So much more denser.
Yeah, maybe it's just the host that's dense right now. But anyway.
Hey, I resemble that.
The point is so much more dense and it's thicker that you got to cook that longer than you do the flat. And if you cook them at the same time, the flat's overdone and you're not going to like it.
That's right. There's another great conversation. If you're going to separate the deckle from the flat, it won't be a problem. But if you don't want to dig all that fat out of there, or let's say this, you have one of those small little box smokers that won't, people say, I can't fit one in it. Well, you can, because if you look at that brisket, it's going to look like a big long rectangle with a point on one end. So what's a trapezoid? So that pointed end is going to be twice as thick as the squared off end. But if you look at that squared off end and you run your hand on it, you'll be going across the Great Plains, and you'll start hitting the Rocky Mountains. Right when the Great Plains end, turn your knife on a diagonal and find that last portion of the flat there and cut that right off and rub it, treat it, smoke it, trim it as a separate piece, because that's kind of the junk meat of the brisket anyway. Mm-hmm. That's what they make corned beef brisket out of. It's just okay. It's decent, but if you treat it properly, it'll be a lot better. If you leave it attached to the entire, what we call a packer brisket, the full brisket, you're going to overcook that. To get that thing, to get your deckle end, your point, to a 195 or 198, wherever you like to finish, that tail end's going to be like 210, 215, that flat, and you'll have killed it.
Dry and overdone.
Yeah, you can't bring it back to life either. You can rehydrate it all you want, but she's already toast.
Right. So, I mean, it just makes sense. The thicker piece is going to cook slower than the thinner piece, so separate them.
Yeah.
And it's all the same cut of meat. It's seasoned the same way. It was on the same smoker. It's just you're pulling that piece off at the proper time rather than wait until it's connected brother.
So if you cut that flat part off before you get to the big rise and you put that on the bottom of your smoker and you put the deckle or the packer, the point end at the top of your smoker, there's usually a 15 degree difference in smoker from top to bottom, right? Or 10 to 20, whatever it is. So give that extra heat to the point and just pay attention to that flat, because when that gets to 155, that's when you're going to want to wrap it. It's going to get to 155 before the rest of that brisket is. So you're going to be wrapping your flat, you know, after 4 or 5 hours. You're going to wrap your point after maybe 7 hours.
Okay, so we're wrapping it. What are we wrapping it in?
And yeah, like foil or some, you know, like Tony Courthouse told us to use butcher's paper for a competition bark. I'm not so much into a competition bark as much as I am a really juicy piece of brisket.
Right.
So I'm going to wrap it in foil, and I'm going to put a little beef broth and Worcestershire in it and maybe a porter, a little of my favorite beer or something like that. And
because, what you're trying to do is seal it up. Bring it up to that 198, 200, 202, wherever you like your brisket at, and you want it to be moist when it gets there, yep. Right? Not dried out. Yep. So you seal it up.
I would tell you 195 is the safest place to be. If you get to 200, you're in a dangerous spot, because as soon as you start going over 198 is like the max I ever want to be. If I don't pull it at 198, I consider that a fail.
Okay. All right. But that moisture in there is going to make it juicy, make it tender.
It helps it finish cooking.
Right.
You're reducing the connective tissue, and you're breaking down the fat, which all stays in that tin, so your juice is amazing.
And the same thing with the point is that you just take that a little bit longer, and there's going to be more fat in that point than there is down in the flat part, so you want that stuff to break down slowly. That's why we cook it. That's why we cook it slow, and we don't just nail it with them.
And you don't hurry it.
Right. You want to cook it slow. You want to give it time to break down all that connective tissue.
You pull it off and do all this stuff in advance. Keep a dry cooler with you. When you've pulled that flat off, put it in the cooler. And you pull that point off, put it in the cooler, and just leave them there for as long as you need. We're going to come back real quick, and it's a grilling, guys. Stick around.